Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhood Show presented by Mel Hamilton Ford. My name is Phil Nightingale. I'm the general manager. Good morning, Josh, our service director. Josh, you got everything under control?
I think so. Working on it.
Look at that background.
Thanks.
Courtesy of Gus. And pretty cool, I think, huh?
Yeah.
Got a little flashing going on in the back. I don't know if everybody can see that flashing around us when we move or whatever, but that's okay. Kind of cool. Now I don't got to worry about my mouse sitting up here and going blank and have that little TV screen in the background, right, Josh?
Yeah. Yesterday we were messing with this and put it up there, and I had specific instructions. So Gus, if you're watching, I apologize.
Uh-oh.
Don't wear dark colors. I'm sitting here looking, and both of us are in black today. Completely unintentional. It just happens.
No, we did it on purpose, Gus, just to piss you off.
Take a joke, Gus.
But yes. Anyway, Gus does a great job for us, and very happy to have Gus on board. He's taking great care of us and keeping all of our computers and internet and network running and stuff like that. So, Gus, I see.
Completely just mind blank. I don't know. You know, you get in those modes and everything's going 9,000 miles an hour and it's in one ear, out the other type deal.
No. I don't know what you mean by that. So, hey, everybody, this is a call-in show. 316-462-3673. That's the only thing we don't have up here as a phone number, Josh.
Oh.
I'll get to working on that here in a minute. Hey, it's the only show I know you get paid to call in on. Anything alien, car, tires, brakes, batteries, whatever it might be. You want to talk about new products, anything in the automobile world, racing, I don't care. Let's get on the chat line. Let's get phone calls ringing. We got a great price package, about over $130 for each and every caller. You just call in the main line here at the store. The girls will answer. Tell them you want to get past in the podcast. We'll get you online here and get you a great price package. And Josh, we still got to make that value, see if that's still the correct value on that part too. So
yeah,
anyway, yeah. So Josh, as always, what's in that package?
So it'll be the works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford. While we're performing that, we're going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components on that vehicle. You'll also receive yourself $10 to Mel's Diner, so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner. Complete nitrogen for your tires, so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer. And then a BG products package, which consists of a can of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then CF5 for your fuel system. Again, just getting that vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. So.
Okay, 316-462-3673, and no, I cannot find that deal. Oh, Gus is going to dive in, and Larry, or is that you?
That's me.
I don't see it over there, Josh. So we'll figure it out. Maybe Gus can work in the background there and get us our phone number up on the bottom screen there. I don't know. We took some stuff away on when we did the Salt City Racing Show the other night to get all that off there, so maybe we can work on that too. So anyway, let's get the phones ringing. Love to hear from you. Again, anything alien, car, tires, brakes, battery, anything in the racing world, anything in the automobile world, love to hear from you and love to give away this great price package about over $130 for each and every caller. And Josh, as you know, has always put you on the spot as we tick off the week. What happened in the shop this week is,
man,
crazy.
Very, very busy. You know, we it's especially this time of year, and as we believe it or not, as we roll into summer, it's right around the corner, and it's just a matter of being having a lot going on for sure. And you know, we want to take care of everybody the best we can. And appreciate everybody's patience while we get to your vehicle. The main thing is not sacrificing quality for.
Sorry, laughing about some stuff in the chat line here is what I'm doing. I don't know what they're talking about. Jeff is saying good morning, Ricky and Cowdy. I don't know what he's talking about.
no idea.
Anyway, for the whole world to know. Just so you know, I don't lie about things. I'm always truthful about everything there is in the world. But I have, I have watched and listened because I was in the truck. We're in Jake's truck driving back from Illinois. And I know Josh thought on Sunday when we left, we had about a 9-hour trip, and Josh thought I'd watch it 4 times, but didn't even watch it on Sunday. We were watching the NASCAR race instead, which was very cool. Did you see that?
I did not. Yeah, I did not.
3-car wide.
And on the
with
finish, the
thousands of a second of a finish, they had to go to a photo finish to see who won that race. It was really bad.
That's like that other movie, Cars, where there's three cars wide and he sticks out his tongue and it's a three-way tie. Yeah, huh?
That's a cartoon, dude.
Well, hey, I was watching that with my nephew the other day. Anyways, yeah. So anyway, three cars wide. And Yeah,
I don't remember the exact numbers of how close it was together, but all three of those cars were right there.
That was in Atlanta, wasn't it?
Yeah, Atlanta. Yeah. And Suarez had it, just a nudge over, God, who got second? Joey Logano. And then Kyle Busch is right there, too.
But it only mattered for one guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because why?
First or last. Yeah. Okay, so Tim Daniels wants to know if we're going to start doing the weather now, too.
So what was your favorite part?
Oh, I don't know.
You got to watch it again to decide that.
Here's a real thing about that. I was sitting in the front seat, and Jake's got one of those inbox game box or whatever it is. So it puts it up on the screen. He knows we're driving and stuff. And that we couldn't get that 100% to work. So then I grabbed my iPad and had it sitting on the console. So I had to kind of sit here kind of about like this to watch it at times. But there's also times, you know, I'm in that passenger seat, man. I hate to ride.
Yeah.
But you think that kid of mine is going to let me drive his truck? Nah, not happening. So I got to watch it again. And Ellie came over on, I got back Monday night. So Tuesday night, Ellie was over. And I asked Ellie, I said, let's watch it again. Guess what? I got vetoed again from Ellie to watch it.
All right,
she's kind of like me on the movie.
I'm gonna have to talk to her about this.
so yeah, I mean, there was a lot of great things and funny things in that movie. I get it, and I think what I don't like about the movie, it's making fun of racing. I don't like that part of the deal, but it is funny. I get it. There's funny things about it and all that kind of stuff. And I think I triggered something because I heard on I don't know what day exactly that Dale Earnhardt does his podcast, but I think he does it on Wednesday or Thursday. And guess what the topic of his podcast was?
Oh, really?
Talladega Nights. So I'm sure Dale was watching on my show and knew that and knew he needed to talk into there with me.
You just keep thinking that.
I know. I will. So no, Tim, we are not doing the weather.
Well, I like it. So he's sitting there. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Oh, yeah. And then hands can't keep coming on up. I don't know. Those kids are pretty ruthless too. On the old grandpa too. That's pretty ruthless, boy.
Well, yeah. They're just ruthless. I'm gonna paint your back portrait.
I'm all jacked up on that Mountain Dew. Hey, look, Gus got us a phone number up there. There it is. All right, there's the phone number to call in: 316-462-3673. If you want to talk about Talladega Nights, I don't care. Bring it on. We did the other night. We can't do it again. I guess we could.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Favorite quotes from Talladega Nights, flip it on the screen, whatever. We're going to have some more fun with that.
So then you haven't watched it for real then yet, like at home and with the big TV?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Yeah. Nope. Just on that screen driving down the road. And of course, you know, we're driving at night. And
I
tell you, me riding, whew, that's just not fun.
After
and 9 hours at that, too. Well, I should say 18.
Yeah, there and back. So, I am going to. After the show here, I'm going to text Ellie and say, hey, look, here's the deal. You're just going to have to take one to the team.
Her and Sam are coming over tomorrow, but guess what's going to happen?
Oh, no. It's
NASCAR
happening.
Race.
Oh, well,
NASCAR yeah. NASCAR race, true. Baby. Yeah. I tell you, she loves NASCAR more than I love NASCAR. I hate to tell you that. So,
yeah. I don't know that, you know, what are some of the big changes from last year to this year? Okay,
Brian Schultz, the invisible fire. Yeah, that was pretty good. Him running around in his underwear. It's that part. I'd never seen that. He had him run around the track in his underwear. let's get some more quotes going. Love to hear from you. All right, so let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Or put in the chat line your favorite Talladega Nights quote one more time so we can have some more laughter, some more fun on that too. Okay, Furman thinks we're going off the rails here.
But we kind of are. You got to drive this car back on the ditch sometimes. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, Furman, you got to realize we get in the ditch every now and then.
But that's where.
Listen to this. Darren McKim says he watched it for the first time last night. I'm with you, Darren. See, I'm not the only one, Josh.
For this first time that day is what he meant.
God. Pavement is for getting to races and dirt is for the best racing. Well, I kind of get you on that too.
Oh, pavement's for getting
to the racetrack. Dirt's for racing.
I don't know. I think a road course would be a lot of fun.
I've done that. I did the road course up in Topeka.
Really?
Yeah. don't know. I mean, if I'm going to do that, I want to go straight and fast, or I want to go in circles.
So the straight and fast deal, I don't know. That's to me, the straight and fast is driver and reaction time.
Well, really, it's just really reaction time. If you think about it. I mean, that's what drag racing is. You got to have that right reaction, because you win or lose it right there.
And I like going straight and fast. Don't get me wrong, but it's all about reaction time. I mean, that's the guy that wins on that deal.
Yeah.
But man, on a road course and a long, you know, even like the 24 hours to Le Mans or something like that, where you have to be consistent for such a long period of time. Like, that shows perfection.
So my thing is so I went and drove the 500s at the Roval at Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And that's a road course. And that's where I get so frustrated is you can't, it talks about that in Ford versus Ferrari, about the perfect lap.
Yeah.
I mean, getting a perfect lap, you're right, is very hard, because I can promise you that's a long way from a perfect lap. But I could never get this one corner down where I really wanted to, a lot of speed, and you're flying down the back straightaway, and you got to nail that brake at the right time and get that left-hand turn in there, and you got to go right back to a right-hand turn. I never could get that thing dialed in like I wanted to. But I get it. It is more talent. I shouldn't say talent, because everybody's got talent in what you do.
Well,
you
it's
do
consistent it. Talent, I think, is what the deal is. You know, you go out for a five lap race or an eight lap race or whatever, but man, when you're turning 400 laps or, several miles of duration, so on the NASCAR side of things, like, they're doing almost the same thing over and over, same turn, same, I don't know. But when you get into a road course,
Now here's another thing. Mr. Furman's got a good deal here. As a spectator, I hate road course. You can't see the entire track.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. That's one thing.
Yeah. I would understand.
Troy Furman says nothing better than a dirt racing. Kind of got to agree with Troy on that one.
So the dirt track side of things, there's so many other elements, I think, that are outside of NASCAR. I mean, you got the track condition, the
changing
dirt,
the track.
And as it changes throughout the race. And I think you have that with asphalt too, changing temperature and humidity and stuff like that. But the probability of change is so much greater on a dirt track, even throughout the race or throughout the night, that the driver's got to adjust to that. There's definitely a spectator aspect to it, as well, being able to see everything. When it comes to just watching racing, I don't think there's anything, I've not seen anything greater than the Chili Bowl. Going down there and watching those guys, weave in and out and being side by side, and just...
And it takes just a split second for one of them to be flipping through the air.
Yeah.
How they can judge that and know where they're at.
So action packed, the track's so confined. There's so many guys on it. You get into lap traffic so quick, and that's where a driver shines, is when you've made it around and now you're fighting through lap traffic to still, gain time and gain positions and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to change the subject a little bit here, but Tim Daniels thinks that, Gus, since you said no black and we're both sitting here in black, something Tim Daniel thinks there's something else would have stood out a little better on here.
And it's over there too. And he had the opportunity to grab it. I don't know. It wouldn't have been black. You're right.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673.
What's your favorite kind of racing?
What's your favorite race? We got some of that going. There's some people saying dirt track. Talladega Nights favorite quote. What's your favorite racing?
Kind of racing, either a spectator or as a driver. If you had the opportunity to go drive, where would you go? What would you do?
Okay, yeah. What racetrack would you love to go race on?
I don't think it matters. They don't even have to be automobile. When they made the second one of something, they started racing. I guarantee you.
Oh yeah, I mean, they were racing horses too.
Well. Boats, horses, I don't know, all sorts of stuff. Motorcycles.
Motocross too. Anything about that too. So if you could drive it still. If you could drive on any course or any racetrack or what type or whatever, not what type, what racetrack would you love to go race on? I don't know. I still,
I've never seen or heard an IndyCar run, and I always thought that would be the coolest thing.
Okay, ever. Now I went to a Formula One race. Well, I did. I've been to several IndyCar races. I went to Indianapolis 500.
Oh, really?
And we went to the first F1 race at Indy. And we're walking in. I believe it's a Friday night. We're walking into Indianapolis, and our seats are inside the track, and they're just getting ready to come out for practice. And the group I'm with, they all start reaching their pockets and pulling out the earplugs. First thing I'm looking at those guys, we bunch of pussies, you know, things like that. And I'm telling you, those cars took off, and it was such a shrill noise. I couldn't get my hands to my ears quick enough. It hurts so bad.
Just because, like, high pitched or
just
whatever?
Just high pitched, just then, and then hurt. Oh, my God. So, yeah.
Okay. You went and got some earplugs.
Real quickly. Because,
it
was so hard. But I tell you, that was a fun race to watch, too. You know, the cars are just so much faster and all that kind of thing. And I mean, that back then, if I remember correctly, they returned like 17, 18,000 RPM. And
that is just crazy.
And out of little bitty motors too. They're not that big of a motor.
Well, and what I don't, you know, I don't think you watching it on TV, you understand how that car is performing. And then they put the display up on the screen of like the RPMs and the miles per hour and all that stuff. And what they can do through a corner is just, to me, is just mind blowing from that side.
How they stick to the track.
Yeah. Yeah. The downforces. I went and watched, this was years and years ago, back in the Cosmosphere, they had a documentary on the, Mario Andretti.
Oh yeah.
And they said that at 100, I think it was like 100 miles an hour, that the cars had enough G-force that if they could design a track, they could actually run the car upside down, you know.
Oh yeah, because I believe
that's true. Aerodynamics that and the downforce that was on that thing. And just to think about that, I mean, 100 mile an hour wind is a lot, but it's
just the amount of downforce just putting on the car to hold it down.
Putting on the car to hold it down is kind of crazy. So,
yep.
And then to your earplug story, we went to Las Vegas one time, and one of the things we had went out there for was drag racing. And so NHRA was out there, and to hear those top fuelers and to same thing on the earplugs, man, I don't wear earplugs for anything, loud music, like being around vehicles, stuff like that. And everybody was putting on their earplugs when the big guys started coming out. And I'm like, you know, whatever. And I made it probably four passes. And
Josh, I've never earplugs in a dragon on the big boy.
I mean, you're talking like shake your whole body.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So when Pontiac was really involved in drag racing, and, you know, I was at the Pontiac store there in Topeka. I had the passes. I mean, I drove right in and parked beside the semis.
Really?
But I could go down on the start line, too. And I would stand probably 15 feet back of where the cars were at the start line, right in the center. And I would brace myself 1 foot forward as they would take off, and it would blow me backwards. I couldn't hold myself down. That was so much fun. God, it was so much fun.
But just the amount of horsepower, like right there.
See, back then, I think they were probably only like 6,000-7,000 horsepower. Now they're what, 10, 12, 14, something like that. They're pumping into those motors.
And then, you know, I don't necessarily call this racing, but one of the coolest things that I think I've seen or been to is monster trucks. Like, you get them in an open arena like Kansas City.
Not these little arenas like here. You can't go to Inches Bake Arena.
Man, I've watched a lot of like world finals in Florida, or, you know, they go to, and they just let those guys, they let them go.
Think about it, because those things are they're running 3,000 or 4,000 horsepower too.
Yeah, like they're a lot of horsepower, but the weight of them, I mean, you're talking a 10,000-pound machine, and it's sitting there doing one and two backflips. Yeah. And the like, what I don't understand, there's a Tom Metz has a driving school for, which is one of the drivers, and you can go to the school and operate one of these things. But
I'd love to do that.
I mean,
I love to four-wheel steer that thing.
To me, they go out there, and it's just you put the throttle to the floor and whatever happens. Like, I don't, but I don't, they in ways make it a show. I mean, I don't understand how you can sit and do backflips and stuff like this and really even have an awareness of where you're at to be able to know whether you need to be on the gas or on the brake. Like,
I've watched those shows too. They know when to get off the gas and when to get on it, to flip them over the right way and everything. Oh yeah.
And the balance of the truck, and you see it on its side, you know, sitting there doing donuts,
and you think they're done, and that's, you know, they're back on their wheels flying through the air again.
Yeah. And it's, I just wonder how much of that is like an actual skill and how much of it is luck. You know what I'm saying? And that's
a lot of it's luck.
Well, yeah. But how much of that is racing? How much of it is in just racing in general, where skill and luck meet, I guess. I don't know. So,
Anyway, some more comments coming through here. Maximum Destruction is Tom Menz's truck name. Yep. James Firm went to the F1 race at Kansas Speedway. I think it was the first year two Speedway was open. It was awesome just how fast they got around. Yeah. Think about how much faster those cars go around some of the, like in Vegas, they race too, the IndyCar versus the NASCAR there too, just because of the downforce and stuff too. Darren McKim raced the Super Chevy show in Topeka in 1995. Boy, that's back in my day back then.
So when NASCAR was doing, they put everybody in years ago. It used to be Firebirds or Trans Am. So you had the IROC series, but they were a lot of the NASCAR drivers that were doing it.
Yeah.
Could you tell a difference in skill level? You know what I'm saying? Like, you take somebody that's really good at doing oval tracks or around in circles, and then you put them in a roval situation.
I'm just trying to remember. Because I used to watch that IROC stuff.
Yeah.
I just can't remember who all won, because they would put different, the F1 drivers were in there, the IndyCar drivers were in there, even some dirt track guys were in there.
Yeah.
Sprint car guys.
And I used to watch a lot of those IROC races and stuff.
I did too, but I just can't remember who was the winner.
Well, and I was trying to remember, big differences of drivers one way versus the other, and I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's too long ago since. I wish they'd bring that back, because that was a lot of fun watching those things race. Reno Air Races. So he must be talking about airplanes, huh, Tim?
Okay, so now there's the Red Bull. Red Bull has a series where they fly them through pylons and stuff like that. Man, those guys, like the G-forces and stuff that they would experience in an airplane.
So you're saying that on Maverick when he's flying through that deal? Is that real?
Oh, no. Not real. Man, I tell you what, like I don't think people really understand how quick you could get sick in an airplane if in one of those, the way they perform and stuff like that, and the amount of training that those guys have to go through to.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think you could get sick in 2.2 seconds easily in one of those things. My neighbor, years ago was a reporter for, KWCH, for Channel 12. And he was doing a report. The Blue Angels were in town, and he actually got the opportunity
to go ride. I'd love to go ride, but I don't want to fly up and down and zip all around.
Yeah, had a video of it and all that stuff. And he said, like that, just sick. Just sick. And he says, I threw my guts out, but he said it was worth absolutely every bit of it,
Just I don't want to feel the G force, is what I want to feel. Well, it's like I'd love to take a Top Fuel funny car or one of the Top Fuel rail cars. Yeah. Just give me a quarter, give me an eighth of a throttle. That's all I want. I think it'd be so much fun, because I don't want to wreck the damn thing either.
I tell you,
I was driving those 500s on the Roval, that was part of my fear.
Was wrecking.
I did take out the insurance to make sure if I crashed the car, I was covered. But I'm still really not covered, because it was a $7,500.
Well, deductible. You had to pay out of pocket for so much of it. So I did the same track, but just with the GTs or whatever, and I actually spun mine out. Yeah. On that deal.
You didn't wreck it, did you?
No.
See, my problem is I got walls all the way around me. That's why we got a little nervous too.
Yeah.
To hit that wall, bust up one of those 500s, I'd never live that down. You'd still be making fun of me about that right now today.
No, I would not.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I'm losing a lot of chat lines coming in here too. James Furman says, the Coliseum was better than interest for the big trucks. I get it. SRX is pretty cool, but I hope they do bring back IROC. There's talk about that. Ray Everham and is working on bringing back the IROC series. Yeah. Yeah, Jeremy, I agree with you. I'd love to get some. He's talking about bringing some of the UMP guys back to Hutch for the Hutch racetrack and stuff. And I just got to say, we just got to get through this first year so I can do some more bigger and better things for 25, 26, and 27. So everybody there on the let's make sure we get over and support that track to keep it alive. Was over there yesterday again for some meetings. Middle of March, got some exciting stuff coming there with the track and stuff too. So it'd be pretty fun there in part two. So we just make sure we can support that track this year, 2024, and show the fair board that we made the right decision to keep racing, and we'll keep racing on 25, 26, 27. So I need everybody to support that. And I think we're making some good headway. Met with Brian yesterday and had a great meeting with the traffic people and stuff. So we are making some great headway over there and can't wait to get some equipment on that racetrack and start making some dirt moving around and all that kind of stuff too. So, Earnhardt won the multiple IROC. I knew he did. Yeah. Harvick, Labonte, Kansas, Mark Martin, Tony Stewart all won back in the day. Al Unser won. I remember watching when Al Unser won too. Marandretti won, AJ Foyer, and Steve Kinzer was running, but I don't think he, yeah, you're right. I remember watching Kinzer run, but I don't think he ever got in there very good. Kinzer tried to go to NASCAR and just, that wasn't his cup of tea. He tried it. And so, it is what it is. Everybody's got different talent and everything else too. So anyway, 316-462-3673. This is supposed to be something about your car, Alan. We're supposed to be fixing cars today, Josh, but we're all over the board.
It's called the ditch.
Foreman was right. We're all in the ditch. In the ditch is where we're at. So anyway, love to hear from you. 316-462-3673. Let's get some phones ringing. Love to hear from you on anything we can talk about.
Hey, look, you know, I forgot. We got one of the exciting things this week is we got that 24 F-150 finally. First F-150 came in. Is it still around here?
It's still here.
Okay. It was an STX four-wheel drive.
On black. Purpose, it's still here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the only one we got, and I wanted people to see the truck and everything else too. It's a refresh truck. I think they did a fantastic job with this STX. The equipment's in that STX now today is not a base truck like everybody was, you know, what it used to be, that yep. sort of thing. Ford has done a great job. They did some great new lines on the front end of the truck. The new interior is really good. The big dash is in every truck now instead of that little bitty 4-inch screen on some of the trucks we used to have. They did a great job. And then the next thing I didn't catch on to one of the salesmen brought it out, Ed brought it out to me, is Ford logo. Tim's going to love it. It's black and white. It's a black truck and it's black and white.
Yeah. I'm assuming they're just doing that on certain packages with you, I guess.
That's a good question. We sure wish you'd kind of know some of that stats from Ford and know they were going to do it. I didn't catch it till Ed brought it to my attention. There it was. Boom. Oh my God. Yeah, there it is.
And I think it's bigger too. Size.
It does look bigger.
And I don't know if it's just because of the contrast or the color difference or if it is actually physically bigger, but I really did. Like the headlight redesign and the taillight redesign. I think that looked really good. And I will say too that, man, I'm not, when you go to change something on a new vehicle, it always takes me about 6 months. Like every time something comes out, it's not that I don't like it. It just takes a little while to get adjusted or changed to it. And always think that the previous year model was better in the most cases, but in this particular one, I think the changes they made it look really, really good.
So if you want to see the 24 F-150, it's not on a showroom right now because we've had a bunch of deliveries and stuff. We took it off the showroom and everything else too the other day, but it is sitting out front here.
I'm excited to see a Ranger and what that looks like.
We have finally got some Rangers coming. It's been, it's been a long road to hoe, and basically we haven't seen a new Ranger since last October, I believe. And basically with that, it went through a redesign, and we have seen the truck. They brought it here to us for training our salespeople and stuff. So it really looks good. It's a little bit bigger than what the 23 is, but basically the first thing that went on strike was the Bronco and Ranger plant is the first thing the union took down. And so that knocked it backwards. And then when they got the plant back open again, they went to building Broncos, which that's where the demand was. But then they have to go revamp the plant to get the 24 in there now. They didn't have time to do that. So now we got that done. So now we finally have some. We've got probably 30 of them in production. And we got about, I don't know, 5 or 6 other getting very, very close to getting here too. So
I'm interested to see the size difference because it is a larger truck.
It is.
Yeah.
It's not as big as an F-150, of course.
Yeah.
Because the Maverick did have a bigger cab than the pre-existing Ranger, but now I don't think that's probably the case with a little bit bigger Ranger they come out with, too. Anyway, Furman needs to get an appointment made up, so we'll call you after the show, maybe, James, and get you an appointment set up. Yeah, you got to get your car dialed in all the way. You're going to go to do all your videos and where you're headed to go do that, too. So anyway, what else, Josh? 316-462-3673. Let's... Joe Petty, have they changed the Mustang? Joe, we've got a brand new Mustang for 2024. If you haven't seen that too, we've got a lot of them on the lot too. Complete redesign on that Mustang. And a lot of controversy over the dash in that car, but I hate to tell you, I kind of love the dash.
So I hadn't really, I mean, I've sat in one, but I haven't really played with it in the sense that the way you can customize it and you can go, you can take the dash to replicate previous years
models, yeah.
Of the Mustang. I, like I said, I have sat in one, seen it, stuff like that, but I haven't played with it to go through and adjust and go through all the different settings and stuff. It is a lot of screen, I will say that. But also, I mean, just like getting in a 15 F-150 versus a, you know, an 18 F-150 versus a now a 22, like, the screens are bigger, but man, you go backwards now and get yeah. one of those other smaller screens. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Anyway, Jeremy Kane likes to make a little fun of the old Ford. He said the best part of the Ford is heated tailgate. That way your hands stay warm when you have to push them. Well, I get that part too, but you know, I driving down to Kellogg coming to work this morning, there was a GMC pulled on the side of the road with a red tag on the back of it that needed to be towed.
Well, I will tell you that you know, I think we were speaking with somebody the other day about just having issues with a vehicle and stuff like that, and the last I checked, absolutely every manufacturer has a service department.
Yeah, and it's true. It's like I always say, the Mercedes, and it's supposed to be one of the best built cars, but they got a heck of a service department. I hate maintaining one of those Mercedes for what that costs to fix one of those too. But the you're right, Josh. Everybody's got a service department for a reason. They're mechanical pieces of equipment. I tell everybody when I sell you a car, I promise you one thing, it's going to break at some point in time. Just don't know when. It's going to happen. It has to happen. I mean, cars just don't run forever. They do run a lot longer than they used to.
Oh, yeah.
They are a lot more dependable than they used to be and everything else too. But everybody's got their flaws. Everybody's got something in that part. I will say everybody right now today, I think, is pretty well got a pretty dang good powertrain underneath it for dependability and that kind of thing too. But that's really not where the issues come in. The issues come into all the electronics and all the toys and gadgets and things we want and the sensors and things we need to keep ourselves happy in these cars today.
So as a consumer in the automotive industry or being on the service side of the automotive industry, like, I would think about that if I were going to look for a new vehicle or purchase something new, like, okay, now say I've purchased this, whatever it is, how am I going to get taken care of on the service side? What's my options to have it serviced? You know, we've run into instances or situations, you know, Tesla is a perfect example of that here in Wichita, you know, that there's no support for that. So yeah, you've bought this new, nice new shiny thing and everything's great and grand, but then now it breaks. What now? What, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix it? What's that look like? You know, and I'm, you know, I said Teslas, but that's out there for anything.
Any kind of,
it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, we have a Lamborghini back there, or had one back there. And you know, I'm thinking of the same thing. Like, yeah, it's a nice new shiny car and everything's great and grand until it isn't. And then like, what level of frustration is that going to bring you? And when it comes time and it's broke, like you need attention to that now. You don't need attention to it later on.
I agree with you 100%. That's the whole thing. Do we want our vehicles to break or whatever? No one does, but they do got to be maintained, but they are going to break at some point in time. And where can you go to get it taken care of? Where do you get it serviced or whatever? And I had a situation in myself personally, just, and I called one place for some help and was told 2 weeks. And, you know, I know that's kind of the norm, kind of where it is, that kind of thing too. So you kind of live with some of those things too. But if someone's that far behind or whatever, I still look at the restaurant side. If I'm going to a restaurant and there's nobody there, I'm not sure I want to eat there, but if there's a little bit of a wait or whatever, that tells you it's pretty good. That's why people are there, that sort of thing too, from that part. So,
well, and my biggest thing is, okay, for the consumer, like, what can I do in a situation or an instance like that, is that I want to make sure if I tell you, hey, we're going to set an appointment for you on this day. When we get to that day, I want to make sure that we're able to get
you
in.
You
and
get you
but
down.
Then it also that it's into the right individual, the right person, the right technician that we can address and fix and take care of your issues. So it's done and over.
Right.
Not that, you know, not that you didn't get the service that you needed or desired or whatever from that side. And it's, it is about quality.
Yep. You know? I'm with you. Anyway, Jeff Daniel, thoughts on the new F-150 tailgate? How about that?
You know, I want to see one.
No, that's my thing too. I want to touch it, feel it. I've seen lots of videos on it and stuff. I'm going to tell you, I think it's pretty cool.
Again,
it's different. So everybody's a little gun shy about it, but you know, I use the tailgate step. A lot of guys laugh at me or whatever, but no, I tell you, I use that step. But now with that tailgate, that step is not needed.
Well, or the other side of it is, and they just did it for this year on the Super Duties, but the pocket for
the bumper,
and then on the side of the truck as well. I can't get over. It just seems like every year, every design, the bed height of the truck gets taller and taller.
Now you're shrinking, Josh.
Well, it could be, but I think, you know, I feel like it just keeps getting higher and higher and higher, and then it takes so much more effort to take something that's 20 pounds and lift it up, you know, that much taller. So from that aspect, to be able to get right to the back of the bed versus having to go the distance of the tailgate and lift up whatever, it'll be really interesting.
Yeah. So we got to get one here. I will tell you, I've got about 35 of trucks that are built in Kansas City and also Dearborn that they have not shipped yet. And that's where that tailgate gets here. So I'll have more pots about too. But
and that's an option, right?
No. It's not on the high-end trucks. It's not.
Okay.
No. The King Platinum, for sure, it's a standard equipment kind of a tailgate, I believe, because I didn't get an option to check it when I was in the box or whatever. Will it get to where it might be an option? It might be. But, you know, got to see it, got to touch it. What's everybody else's thoughts? Have you all seen the new multifunction tailgate that Ford just came out with? And everybody's got a multifunction tailgate from that part. At least the Ford's not going to, when you have your hitch in, it's not going to ding up your tailgate.
Smack the
tailgate. So if you see a Chevrolet or GMC running down the road, it's got a big dent in the center of the tailgate, you know what happened there, the tailgate.
They have their ball hitch receiver
hit the hitch. But I think I'm going to like that tailgate just so I can open that mid-gate up so I can step on the bumper and step in and get clear into the truck instead of having that tailgate all the way down in front of me. How much reach I can reach inside of the truck, into the bed to get what I need out of it, whatever. But who knows if it will be, you know what I'm saying, good, better, different, whatever from that part. I don't know. Anybody else got some thoughts on the new Ford tailgate? If you've seen the videos out there, there's been a lot of videos on YouTube, different places on the tailgate.
When you change something that's been the same for so many years, like, you're opening yourself up for criticism for sure. But then, you know, 2 years from now might be the next best thing that they have out there.
Well, and that's true too. I mean, that's what our phones and that's what our internet and everything has done to us from that part. You know, and what everybody's got an opinion out there that you can say. You don't have to talk someone's face anymore. You can just put it on a keyboard and start talking about somebody and that sort of thing too. And that's why those negative comments and negative things, I'd like to just delete that thing off the pages. It's not gaining nothing to complain about something.
Well, and not even have any firsthand experience over it either. How do you form an opinion on something that you have know nothing about or, you know, for sure. But
it's kind of like when you get those sites out there that know more about cars than you and I do and different things and stuff and got those opinion out. Now, some of those sites are really great sites. I really like what some of them have, what they do, and give you the great information. I mean, we use a lot of different things here to help us diagnose cars, help us fix cars, help us order cars, do all kinds of stuff out there too. Compare models. I mean, there's so many sites. Just like the other day in the sales meeting, one of my sales managers had found a site of a brochure for every make and model of every year, and go clear back in the 70s. Didn't know that existed, but it's out there. So, you know, we're trying to compare our trucks to a Dodge or a Chevrolet or whatever on towing capacities, all that kind of stuff. Boom, there it is. Think about how long ago you have to go search for something like that years ago to kind of compare. And there it is right there in the internet. So there's so many great things about the internet, what it does for us and helps us. But I just wish the negativity wasn't there and we don't gain nothing from that negativity side of the world. So, hey, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Love to hear from you. Anything, any new car, tires, brakes, batteries. That's what this show is supposed to be about. But we talk about everything. Furman, we're going back in the ditch maybe, but that's okay. It's part of the fun and everything else too. So anybody else got some thoughts on the new tailgate, on the Ford tailgate? Let's see that. If you got any questions, comments, whatever. And haven't had too many comments on your favorite movie, Josh, but that's okay.
Or the movie or the race and the track, you know, if you could go race anything, what the heck would you go race? In there.
I probably missed them, I bet, coming through here. We talked about some of that.
Well, how about the guys that are racing boats in the ocean? Like, So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, well, how much of that is the environment that you're in? You know,
think about that though. The waves and things.
That's what, yeah, I'm saying, okay, you know, if you're not in the water because of a wave, you can't get propulsion. You know, I don't know. I
talk about getting sick.
Oh, I think in a fighter jet, way faster.
Oh, I know, way faster, but you're still gonna get sick in that boat too. I think.
You think?
Beating around.
Oh, hell no! If you're driving and on the throttle, and you ain't paying attention to any of that, are you?
I don't know. I don't know. I think about the last time I got on a big sea fishing boat. So I'm where we're at and going out fishing, man. I was laying on the back of the boat half the day throwing up what I had.
Really?
Oh, God. Well, terrible.
What happened the night before? Well, yeah. You didn't prep.
Oh, I prepped all right.
So
I prepped all right.
I don't know what the hell I was going to ask.
Oh, I lost your train of thought on that deal there, too.
Deep sea fishing, huh?
Yeah. We're talking about boat racing in the ocean.
What are you talking somewhere about? With that. I don't know what the heck.
Can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Can you swim real well?
Oh, I can swim, yeah.
I don't know if he's listening, but there's a guy out there that his version of swimming, he can swim, but his version is sink to the bottom and run like hell. that's how he swims. Yeah. So
some of my swimming is just soaking, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Can't get in very deep water doing that, but
got a flotation device or something, you'd be okay.
Yeah.
But can I swim? Yeah, I can swim. I mean, that's one thing my mom pushed us all the way through when we was growing up with the swimming lessons on. Oh yeah, I can swim.
What so threw up, huh?
Ah, oh, all day.
Did you catch anything?
Hell no. Everybody else did with me.
It's because you didn't have a fishing pole in the water.
Well, that might have had something to do with it. I couldn't hold on to the damn thing. Back in that ditch again, Josh.
How long ago was that?
10 years ago at least. No, maybe longer. Probably 15. It might have been longer than that now I think about it. When I think of who was on that boat with me and stuff too. So. Okay, next thing up.
Yeah, just like that.
Talk about that for a minute. We're back in that ditch really hard again. So, hey. Talladega Nights quotes, where are they at? What's happening? Where's the phones ringing? Let's talk to some people. Let's get some things. We're supposed to be fixing cars, Josh.
We are.
We're all over the board where we're going and everything else too, but that's part of the fun, I guess, too. So anyway, any more favorite Talladega Night quotes? I think we've kind of spit a lot of them out, but I'm trying to remember some of those ones.
When you write them down here this next time after you watch, you'll
write them down. Yeah. It's exactly. Write them down. Yeah, I'm going to write them down, all right.
Just so you can reference them. You'll have flashcards. Mary, quiz me on my Talladega Nights flashcards.
I'll just take pictures of screen, Josh.
Okay, there we go.
Click them off and everything else. We've got Richard coming on the line here, right? Let's get Richard on the phone. Finally got the phone ringing. Maybe see what's on Richard's mind.
Richard, good morning. You're on live with Under the Hood. Pull us out of the ditch quick.
Hey, I've got a couple of questions here. When you go around town here, you see pickup trucks that are lowered a little bit. Why? And some of them are done real well. Well, they look pretty cool, kind of lowered a little bit. I mean, I'm not talking about a low rider. I'm just talking about like what they call like a 2 or 4-6 drop, like a two-inch drop in the front, like a 4 drop in the back. Kind of more of like a lower stance. Why have not the manufacturers made a truck that's kind of a little sportier like that?
Well, it's closely coming. We're coming up with a truck here in 24. I'm not sure when they're going to start building it, but it is going to be a crew cab, 4-wheel drive, 5-liter. They're calling it the Lobo.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember exactly how low that thing is. It's not dropped really a lot, but it is lower than most trucks that is coming from Ford. Not sure when we're going to see them or whatever, but I do think, you know, there's some situations. Some of those trucks do look pretty cool.
So there's that instance. And then we also got to see that Maverick. I don't know if you remember it. That was kind of, no, I don't even know that it had because I don't even think it had a name. Badge to it yet, or the, you know, the model line of the Maverick. At that point in time, it didn't.
They were just showing us some pictures of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We're finally getting some stock Mavericks for availability instead of all the ordering that we've been doing on the Maverick stuff too, which is pretty cool. So maybe now they'll be able to build that Maverick that's lowered down like we saw with the production lines, finally with production getting caught up and stuff too.
Yeah. And you know, we've had the opportunity to do that specific thing. We've done both raise vehicles or put lift kits on them, and then also lowering kits back in the shop. And I would definitely agree with you 100% that lift kits are more prevalent for sure than lowering something. And for me, I mean, that's the city truck version. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are vehicles out there that look really good lowered, but as far as versatility and use as a pickup, it kind of takes some of that away from it.
I think 95% of the people buy a truck today are not using it. It's their daily commute, daily ride, and everything else too. So,
yeah.
Hey, Rich, you said you had another question. You had a couple questions, I thought, buddy.
This really isn't a question. It was an drag strip here in Wichita. Here, there is a guy that comes up from Tulsa, and he has a 2-seater dragster, and you sit behind him while he's driving. And I did that one year. I think he's still going to come back occasionally. It's $100. You get to sit behind the guy. He doesn't do the full quarter. If he does the full quarter, it's $790. But if he does like the eighth, it's about like half of that. And I took a ride in that thing, and I do not know how they can drive those because the vibration was so bad, I couldn't even see. I'm serious. I couldn't even see.
Just shake your eyeballs?
There's like no suspension on them. It's just like...
No suspension, just rough as heck. Yeah, yeah. But it was still fun, wasn't it?
I don't know how... And the G-forces, like you were talking about, it was amazing, but I can't even imagine how they can do one of those in one of the top fuel drags in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But you would spend the $100 again, right?
Oh yeah, it was well worth it. It was a lot of fun. If he comes up, you got to do that. I mean, it's $100 measly bucks, but I mean, it was worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. We were out there a couple of years ago and he was there, and I was trying to get in that thing to go, and it took too long, too much time, and I was done. I had to go. I had to leave or do something, so I didn't get to go. But I seen him go out there a couple times. So you might have been one of the riders I watched go down the track.
So
I'll tell you what, it would also be fun. I don't think I'd ever get one of the top fuel for the funny car, but I would pay to go in a pro stocker. If they had a pro stocker that had a double seat, like one of the 6 second cars, 600. What are they now? 6.5 or something like that? Pro starter car. I would pay to do that all.
Well, I would like to drive one of those, not ride. Give me half throttle on a pro stock. Let me try it. I would love to do that too. But riding would be fun too.
I saw a video. There's an online video. I guess the current world champions is this woman named Erica Enders. There's an online video that it shows her routine. It shows her in the car. And shows the routine that she goes through to go down the track. And it's amazing. A lot of stuff you got to know before you can even drive one of those things.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of things that happen before you actually stomp that accelerator and go forward. There is a lot of things going on. Talk about concentration levels and stuff, and one little slip up, and guess what? You're done.
That is correct. You guys have a good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for the call. Talk to you soon, buddy. And we got another caller coming up, don't we? We'll get another caller patched in here real quick. And got a few minutes left on the show. 316-462-3673. We'll get who's up next?
Greg.
Greg is next. We'll see what's on Greg's mind, what Greg might want to talk about, and I think what's on his mind, what his question might be.
So the whole going back to the training side of things, you know, I don't want the, how's it go? I don't want the labor pains. I just want the baby. Put me in the car and let me go. Deal. So here, let's go back to the phones. Good morning, Greg. You're on live with Under the Hood.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm calling about, I brought my car into you guys last week in the quick lane. It's a 21 F-150 and I had the oil changed, but, and of course, I agree with what Bill says about changing the oil before the reminder says to change it.
Yep.
But, you know, whatever. I still checked on the app, like, oh, what's it? You know, did they reset it? And it didn't reset. So it says I'm whatever percent away from the oil change. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe they just forgot that. So then I tried to reset it, which is, you know, pretty simple. You just go down to maintenance and then press and hold. Whatever. It's not resetting.
It's not resetting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to take a look at that and see what's going on there with that part, with that, Jeff, and see what, or Greg, I mean, and see what's going on.
You said it's 21? A 21 F-150?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you here in Wichita?
I live outside of it, but we go to Wichita practically every day.
Yeah. Well, I will, I'll get with you after the show here, and we've got a mobile service, or we'll come pick it up, or do whatever we need to do to get that thing.
Yeah, we need to get it reset so you know where you're at and what's going on. Plus, we need to figure out what's going wrong with it. How many miles are on the truck? Just close.
Almost 50, I think.
60.
We drive it quite a bit.
Yeah, no, 50, I get it. I'm just trying to. So it has reset. It's just this time here, it's not doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So I know there's got to be some kind of a little bit of glitch. Then there are a couple different ways you can reset that light too.
Yeah. So you can reset it with a manufacturer computer from that side. So we'll, like I said, I'll get with you after the show and make arrangements to hook up with you.
Figure out why it's not resetting and what it's doing or whatever too from that
get
part.
It squared away.
Yeah. But I'm still with you on that. Yeah, I'm still with you on that. I'm glad you agree with me. If I'm looking at my oil life monitor, when it hits 50%, I'm changing it. But I'm still on the 5,000-mile interval stuff, too. And, you know, we were in the truck with my son and debating on he's driving a diesel now and debating on how often he should change his oil and stuff like that. And Ford recommends every 200 hours as an hour meter. I think a lot of diesel guys forget about that. And I told him, I said, when that thing hit 100 hours, that oil will be out of that truck for me. It's just this today with the higher engine temperature we run and stuff like that. And those oil patches get plugged up very quickly and stuff. And once you start getting them plugged up, a little bit of carbon, a little bit of sludge or whatever, it's hard to get that out of there. And that's where start diving in the GDI service of BG. So I appreciate that part, but sorry, we can't get that thing reset, but we'll
get it figured out and taken care of. Hey, if you were to race, if you were to race anything, what would it be?
You know, I agree. You made a comment earlier on the show about the feel of the G-force that just accelerating is pretty cool. I mean, even on an airplane, and I've only flown commercial. That's, I don't know. That set you back in the seats. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I like. So
me too.
A ride along. It'd be just fine. I wouldn't trust myself to drive anything really fast, but like that. I've ridden on the back of a sport bike once, and I'm not riding any sport bike.
I'm with you there too. The other day, I seen a couple on one of those sport bikes like that, and he took off flying. I mean, he had to be doing, because he was on a side road, and we were going down the road and running about 70, and he went just zinging down. So he had to be doing over 100. Oh,
you were on the highway, and they were
on a side
on
road,
a fronted road or side road,
went blowing by the house. Oh my God! One split second, and you're a grease spot on the road. So I'm with you on that part. I got scared on a motorcycle years ago, but 30 years ago. Yeah. So I'm with you on that one. 100%.
Yeah. And on the cheap insurance, is with what cars cost today. And I think the sticker price on my truck was like $70,000. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to just get an oil change and just, you guys look over the truck too. You look at everything, tires, brakes.
Yep.
Even the wipers, which to be honest, we forget about them until we got to turn them on.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
If you've got wipers that are torn up, that's when you'll find it. they're not clearing the rain and stuff, which, if I'm really honest, it's one of the things I wanted to, you know, the haziness that we've had and the raininess that we've had over the last month, like, I really appreciate it. I drive from outside Wichita into Wichita, and the daytime running lamps to be able to see vehicles, I mean, just, I don't know. We've come a long way. You don't have to reach down and turn it on. You just got to leave it alone when it's when your wipers are on, your headlights come on. It's not just state laws. It's good practice.
Yeah, no, I get you. There's a lot of new amenities we have on these vehicles today that keep us safe and everything else too, but I'm with you. Nothing worse than all of a sudden it starts raining, you hit them wipers, and you got a big smear across you can't see. I get it. 100%. All right, buddy. Well, hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate that very much. We'll get a hold of you after the show and figure out how we get this light reset so we can keep track of your oil life for you, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody. It's been another interesting show. And yes, Furman, we went in the ditch several times, but that's part of the fun, I guess, too. So kind of running out of time here, everybody. And I can't thank everybody enough for watching and listening and all that kind of stuff, too. For those of you who tune in next Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we'll go live again with Salt City Speedway with some more updates on how we're progressing with everything there. I need to thank our sponsors, BG Products, all the great preventative maintenance products we use right inside here at Mulholland Ford. I was over on the dyno again this week with the race car. There's a little video out there on BG if you want to check that out, too. They kind of got Jake on on a first startup. It wasn't very good. A car bounced a little bit before he got it going. It's hard to get that thing fired up on that dyno from part two. So, but anyway, BG has some great products to make your car run many, many more miles, and just love the partnership with those guys. BCC, Big Corner Creative, for all your advertising needs. You need a web page design, anything to advertise your company, whatever. Need a vehicle wrap, need a race car wrap, need windows tinted. As Jesse and the guys over there say, just Google it. And then go to Rent. Hey, spring break's coming up, all that kind of stuff. If you need a bigger van or 12, 15 passenger van, give Stan a call right inside here at Mulholland Ford to go to Rent. He's got a great fleet of vehicles. You don't put the miles in your car or whatever. Or if you need something bigger to get wherever you're going for spring break, whatever, let Stan help you over there and get you something better for your rental needs. Everybody, have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you next Saturday at 9 o'clock.